had technical difficulties, but we were ready. Appreciate so much tonight you're here and for the opportunity we have to study. If you take your Bible tonight and turn to 1 Peter and the second chapter, I'd like to begin reading with you at verse 4. 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning at verse 4. Coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the Scripture, "Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious, but to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble, being disobedient to the word, to which they also were appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." It's interesting when you go through the Bible and notice the different writers of the New Testament, and many times you'll find when they pen a particular epistle, they may use a certain word over and over again to try to get into the minds of the people the importance of that particular word. Tonight, I'd like for us to begin a series of studies from the writings of the Apostle Peter. And what I'd like for us to do is to examine one particular word that Peter uses time and time again. I believe as Peter is inspired by the Holy Spirit, he still writes with his own personality. Though he writes with his own personality, everything he writes is truth. He is writing as he's guided by the Holy Spirit, as Jesus said the apostles would in John 14 and verse 26. So in our study, I'd like for us to begin looking at some precious things. And notice here was Peter, a man who was often outspoken, a man who at times was ready to give a defense, who would be ready to answer a particular question. But now you see the softer side of Peter. When he's writing this epistle, both epistles, he talks about things that are precious. And when we talk about something being precious, we recognize something of value, something of great worth. And if you have your Bible, notice, if you will, in 1 Peter 2, that he talks about the precious Christ. If there was ever anyone or anything that should be precious to man, it should be the Son of the living God. And when you look in 1 Peter chapter 2, notice he starts in verse 4 by talking about those who come to him as to a living stone. And notice, Jesus was rejected indeed by man, but chosen by God and precious. It would be good for you and me tonight to get into our mind the fact that the Son of God is precious. Jesus was precious to God. Even though man had decided to reject him, God had chosen him. He is the only elect chosen son, as Isaiah 42 said. But then if you look in your Bible, notice again in verse 6 and 7. It talks about in verse 6, "I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious." If you have your Bible underscored, precious. Notice Peter is putting into the mind of the people that Christ is the chief cornerstone. He is the foundation upon which the lives of Christians ought to be built. Just a moment ago when Brother Carroll led us in prayer, he talked about Jesus being our rock. And he talked about the foundation. And we ought to be thankful to God that we can build upon a solid foundation, Jesus Christ. But notice again what he says in verse 6. "And he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore," in verse 7, "to you who believe, he is precious." Do you recognize tonight that when you are a believer, you are a disciple, you are one who follows Jesus, he will indeed be of great value. He is something that you treasure. He is something that you hold on to because He is precious. But notice again what He said in verse 7. But to those who are disobedient, notice they don't hold Jesus near to their heart. They don't care about His Word. They're not building their life upon Him. He said He is the one they've rejected. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. And instead of using the teaching of Jesus and building their life upon the Son of God, He has become a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. So this evening, I want you to think about the precious Christ. Notice first that He is a living stone. He is the one upon you build your life. When you go back and you look at the descriptions of Jesus, you'll find it is necessary for one to recognize that He is all-encompassing. If you take your Bible, look in the book of John in the 4th chapter. When you think about Jesus being the precious Christ and the living stone, have you ever stopped to think He gives life? In the book of John in the 4th chapter, what did Jesus tell the woman at the well in Samaria? Jesus said that He was living water. Have you ever thought an individual cannot live without water? And tonight I want to tell you with all kindness and yet candor, spiritually, one cannot live without Christ. Only Christ can give spiritual life. If one is not in Christ, I'll tell you one thing tonight, that individual is spiritually dead. If one is not drinking from the water of life, being Christ, then one is spiritually separated. But then if you take your Bible, look in the book of John in the 6th chapter. And when you come to the book of John and the 6th chapter, notice the statement of Jesus in about verse 51, where He said, "I am the bread of life." Not only is Jesus the living water, Jesus is the bread. And I will tell you tonight that unless one feasts upon Jesus, unless one follows the will of God, then one, again, is dead. One cannot live without food physically, and that is true spiritually. So tonight I recognize Jesus is the living stone. He is that which brings life. He is that which is the water of life. He is that which is the bread of life. But then if you go back and notice in 1 Peter chapter 2, notice what Peter else had to say. In 1 Peter chapter 2, look at verse 4 again. It talks about man has rejected God's Son, Christ. But notice it said that Jesus was chosen by God. Now notice, He was not chosen to be the cornerstone by accident. This has been in the mind of God before the foundation of the world. God, looking down upon man, saw man's need, saw man separated, saw man was lost. And God said, "I will bring forth My Son, send Him, so that man can have redemption." If you take your Bible, look in the book of Isaiah and the 28th chapter. And when you come to the book of Isaiah and the 28th chapter, you need to get in your mind tonight in verse 16 that the coming of Christ was prophesied hundreds of years before He came. In Isaiah 28 in verse 16, notice the statement, "Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion a stone for a foundation." Watch it. "A tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. Whoever believes will not act hastily." Do you recognize that the words came from the prophet Isaiah years and years before Jesus ever came? And yet He was chosen by God. And notice, He was told He would be precious and sure, and He would be the cornerstone for which an individual could build their life. But now then, notice that statement again. He's the chief cornerstone. Open your Bible for just a moment to the Ephesian letter and the 2nd chapter. When you come to the Ephesian letter and the 2nd chapter, notice the foundation of the apostles' teaching in verses 20 and 21. In verse 20, notice that Paul said, "Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Now, I recognize what Paul is saying is that he is the foundation of all things to the church. So tonight I recognize that Jesus is precious to one that believes, because it's Him that gives life, and He is the chief cornerstone upon which my life is built. And I recognize He is precious to the believer, but rejected by men who do not believe. Open your Bible for just a moment to the New Testament, to the book of Mark and the third chapter. When you come to the book of Mark and the third chapter, look, if you will, at verses 28 and 29. You remember that at this time Jesus had performed great miracles, and yet many would not believe. They disbelieved. And because they disbelieved, Jesus became a stone of stumbling to them. And notice that Jesus said to them that all the blasphemies of that day would be forgiven, but those who would reject the Spirit, they were subject to eternal condemnation. Why? Because they looked upon the Son of God. They saw the miracles, and they attributed it to the evil one. And Jesus said, that's blasphemy. That was a sin that could be committed in that day. They saw the good. They saw the miracles. And notice they still wouldn't believe. Have you ever thought, my friend, to many people, Jesus is a stumbling block? Now I want to stop and ask a third question tonight. I want to raise a question. Why is Jesus precious to the saints? When we talk about something of great value, when we talk about something of great worth, why would Jesus be something we hold dear to? I think that's a fair question. But if you go back, look at what he says in 1 Peter 2. In 1 Peter 2, notice that he was chosen of God. Now watch that. Because of his chosen of God, his coming to earth, the sacrifice he made, look if you will down at verse 9. Look at what we become. But you are a chosen generation. Do you recognize tonight we are chosen of God? Why? Because we're in Christ. Who's in Christ? The one who believes and obeys. Now, if an individual does not believe, he won't obey. He won't be in Christ. But in 1 Peter 2, 9, he says in verse 9, the chosen are those who are obedient. Look at verse 8. There are those who stumble at the rock of offense. They stumble being what? Disobedient to the word. They don't follow. But in verse 9, he's writing to who? Believers, those who've obeyed the word. And he said, you are a chosen generation, a holy priesthood, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. You've been called out of darkness. You ever thought about that blessing of being a priest? Do you recognize tonight that you can go to God in prayer, that you don't have to come up here and me and you get into a little box and you tell me all your sins? Wouldn't that be terrible? Wouldn't it be terrible tonight if you had to come to me and I had to be the only one who would give intercession between you and God? Now that's what a lot of people believe. That's not what the New Testament teaches. Open your Bible, if you will, to the Hebrew letter and the fourth chapter. When you come to the Hebrew letter and the fourth chapter, look at what he says in verse 15. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Now watch it. Let us, underscore that word, that's you, that's me, that's every one of us. Let us, therefore, come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Because I am a royal priest, I can go to God through my high priest, Jesus Christ. I don't have to go down and talk to any other man. I can go to God directly through His Son. And so I want to tell you, Jesus is precious tonight because of Christ, I am chosen. I have been elected unto God. But not only am I a child of God, I am a priest. I'm able to go to God through the high priest. And I'm a citizen of the kingdom of God. Now I want to tell you something. To know that I belong to the King, I want you to recognize that is a precious thought. To recognize that the God who created all things, the God who knows all things, all wise, all knowing God, knows your name. Now, no one in government here or overseas may know who you are. But I want you to think about the fact if you're in Christ, God knows your name. He said such in John 10. He said, my sheep know my name, and I know my sheep. I want you to think of that. That's a precious thought. One of these days, we'll do a series of studies on the 23rd Psalm. And you know, I went back, and I don't know how many books I've bought through the years on the 23rd Psalm. And the more I study, and I see how a shepherd is with his sheep in the Middle East, I want you to think about how they would defend the sheep to the life. They'll give their life for the sheep. And you think that's what Jesus did for us. I want you to think about something else. When you're citizens of the kingdom, believers will show that He is precious. Have you ever thought in 1 Peter chapter 4, Peter goes on to talk about they gave up all to follow Him. In 1 Peter 4, notice the statement in verse 16. He said, if anyone suffers that he is a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. Have you ever looked at Peter and Paul and those individuals, what they gave up because they were a disciple of Christ? Look in the Philippian letter and the third chapter. In Philippians chapter 3, Paul said, what things were gained to me, these I've counted loss for Christ. They were willing to go through great persecution, as we see in Acts 16. They were willing to endure hardships to teach the gospel of Christ. Why? They wanted others to know how precious He is. They wanted others to see how precious He is to them. They spoke well of Christ. They preached Christ wherever they went. If you love somebody, you'll proclaim it. And notice that's what He said in 1 Peter 2. He said in 1 Peter 2, what was it? He said, you're a royal priesthood. He said what? You're a holy nation. He said what? His own special people. Look at how God sees you tonight because of His Son. You're special. You ever thought that you're special? Sometimes we get low, but when I think about the fact that the God of heaven looks down and we're special to Him. Then look at that next phrase. That you may proclaim the praises of Him who've called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. That's what the people of God should be doing, proclaiming the praises of Him. Question. Is He precious to you? I want to raise a question as we close. If you're a believer, He should be precious to you. And when you think about the future for all believers and what is in store for those who follow God and build their life upon the chief cornerstone, He should be very valuable, the most valuable thing in our life. But what I'm fearful of is we found a day and time where we don't hold Him as precious as we should. When He's the most precious one in your life, you will live your life to His glory. And when you live your life to His glory, you'll build your life upon Him and His teaching. Look, if you will, at the last verse in Matthew chapter 7. And in Matthew chapter 7, the children can sing the song about it, but I want you to look at how Jesus concluded that in verse 24. He said, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who builds his house on the rock. On what rock? He's talking about his teachings here. Upon that, he had just taught them when he's talking about the Sermon on the Mount. But I'll tell you, you build on his teaching, you build on him. And he says, and the rains descend, the floods come, the winds blew and beat on the house, and it didn't fall, for it was founded on the rock. What did we talk about this morning? The Word of God is what? An anchor for the soul. When everything else is shifting, when everything else is crumbling, when all of life is coming down and it seems like everything's tumbling in, I'll tell you one thing that's still there is the Word of God. And then he says, but everyone who hears this teaching and does not do them. I get what he said. Not just enough to hear. You have to follow through and do what he says. He says, that is a foolish man who builds his house on the sand. And when the rains come and the floods come and the winds blow, he says, the house fell. You think about that with your life. What have you built your life? you build it on anything in this world, I'll tell you what will happen. Your foundation will crumble because everything here is going to be taken away. I thought about watching children. You ever watch a child at the beach when they make a sandcastle? You notice what a child knows is going to happen at the end of the day? No matter how long they spent building that sandcastle, they know the tide will come and take away the sandcastle, but they're happy with it. They had fun. They realized it was just temporary. But you'll see men spend their lives building their empire, making their money, trying to get all the things of this world, and they try to go out and they hold on and they hold on. But then when the storm comes and takes it away, they're not like the child who's happy because he had fun with it for a while. He falls and he cries and he can't let go of it. That's what he's built his life on. Don't build your life on sand. Build it on Christ. He is precious. And He can take us to heaven. If you're here tonight and you're not a child of God and need to be baptized, we pray you come as together we stand.